Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today on the Dark Side of Bill Cosby's spokesperson. Amazing that actually is a title that exists, defends his legacy ahead of upcoming docuseries. We need to talk about Cosby. Family of a Connecticut woman who died after Bumble Date challenges coroner's new accidental death ruling. That story and a lot more today on a new episode of The Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of.
That indeed it is. Be sure to press subscribe or follow or stalk or whatever it is on whatever platform you're listening to our program on so you don't miss any episodes. We got new stuff for you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Other episodes during the week. Get some of our best ofs and previews of some of our other podcasts. If you like the show, be sure to check out our Patreon page. Patreon.com or the Patreon app. Super easy to use. And you can actually get all of our episodes there that we've ever created, including advanced episodes of the show and the archive. And it's all commercial free. And it's only $5 a month. That goes a long way. When we get a bunch of you saying, hey, we like doing this, that allows us to keep doing the show. So please do check that out. Just search Dark Side of at patreon.com or the Patreon app, or go to darksidepod.com. Take you right there too. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. What's up?
Hey, friend.
What's going on?
How's everything?
Everything is hunky-dory, and it actually is. I'm like, I'm feeling good.
It's just kind of creepy the way you just said
well,
that.
Well, it's because I was
feeling good.
Well, I was at Goodwill earlier today, and I discovered the Thighmaster, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I also got a VHS tape where...
Suzanne Summers.
Yes. Suzanne Summers is teaching us all the ways to improve your thighs. So I also got a VCR. They didn't have those at Goodwill anymore. I had to find that behind the dumpster, behind the waste management plant. And I got one of those. And so I'm kind of seeing it, you know, tracking's a little off, but I'm feeling really good about my new exercise equipment.
Like, I would love to see you in that little outfit like Suzanne Summers would wear. Like, you'd watching your TV and you're doing your Thighmaster.
I found some of those at the Salvation Army clothes bank. And there I got some of those, and I actually ended up being on a list when I bought them. They said, okay, you can buy these, but please sign and get on this awareness list. I'm like, okay. So I was. But no, I'm excited.
Like a pervert awareness list.
I think that might have been what it was. I'm not really quite sure. It was kind of unsettling, but they're like, we'll sell you the Suzanne Summers outfit, but you know, you have to like put down on this, you know, what's the purpose of this outfit and all that. And it was a little invasive, but I thought, you know, 9/11, COVID, let's just let them know.
Well, and here's the thing about when you find something like that and you're feeling good about yourself, you really do owe it to the rest of the world to post about it on social media, which graph.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because if it's just, you know, words, nobody wants that. But no. If you could get yourself in that little outfit, like a video might be even better.
Even better. Yeah. And if you can do it while lip syncing to a Cardi B song or something and maybe doing a little twerking, that would probably get you even more views and on other lists.
All of this is just great ideas.
It's all about getting on lists.
Yep. And it's just all about helping others.
Following lists. And I mean, God, yeah, that's just disturbing. All right. Well, speaking of disturbing and things that just make little to no sense in our world today, which is, you know, 90% of shit. Bill Cosby's spokesperson, the fact that there is a spokesperson, defends his legacy ahead of upcoming docuseries We Need to Talk, which I'm really excited to watch.
His legacy?
Yes.
Like, kind of in tatters.
It premieres on Showtime. In fact, by the time this airs, it should be available because it premiered on Sunday and that would have been yesterday.
Okay, now, for those of us,
yeah.
Okay, me.
Yo.
Are you talking about this Sunday?
Yes, I'm talking about this
next week.
This show airs, the one that we're recording today, airs this coming Monday on the 31st.
Oh, so I better be getting me some Showtime.
Yes, it's on Showtime. Okay. W. Kamau Bell's 4-part documentary, which I'm going to binge. I wonder if it's like going to be like every week there's a new episode or if they're just going to drop them all.
And on a totally different side note, there is a Janet Jackson 4-hour 2-parter this weekend.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think it's on A&E or something. Okay. I don't remember. Anyway,
oh.
Go ahead.
Anyway, premieres widely on Showtime on Sunday. Okay, wrestles with the complicated downfall of America's dad. So this is interesting. Okay, we'll just read the story. It's from People. It says, how do we talk about Bill Cosby? It's a question that many Americans have wondered since disturbing sexual assault allegations were brought against the groundbreaking celebrity. And it's a question that stand-up comedian and TV host W. Kamau Bell is ready to explore. Bell's new 4-part documentary, We Need to Talk About Cosby, wrestles with the complicated downfall of America's dad, a man who once inspired entire generations and blazed trails for black comics and actors before his accusers exposed his sinister side to his fame. Days before We Need to Talk About Cosby premieres widely on Showtime, Cosby's spokesperson is defending his legacy and calling Bell's project a PR hack in a statement provided to People. Let's talk about Cosby. The statement reads, Mr. Cosby has spent more than 50 years standing with the excluded, made it possible for some to be included, standing with the disenfranchised, and standing with those women and men who were denied respectful work because of race and gender. Within the examples of the entertainment industries, or expansions of the entertainment industries. The statement continues, let's talk about Bill Cosby. Mr. Cosby continues to be the target of numerous media that have for too many years distorted and omitted truths, intentionally, despite media's repetitive reports of allegations against Mr. Cosby. None have ever been proven in any court of law. In 2018, Cosby was found guilty on 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault after Andrea Konstad said he had drugged and sexually assaulted her in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, at his home in 2004. Cosby was sentenced to 3 to 10 years for his crime. The statement adds, let's talk about Bill Cosby. In June 2021, the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court released Mr. Cosby, and the court's chief justice denied the Pennsylvania Montgomery County District Attorney's behavior as reprehensible. More than 2 years into his sentence, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned Cosby's conviction due to a due process violation in which the district attorney broke an agreement made with Cosby to not use a confession against him. The state Supreme Court barred any future prosecution on those specific charges and ordered his immediate release. Let's talk about Bill Cosby. Mr. Cosby knows the realities of prosecutorial violations and that those violations are threats to the integrity of our nation's criminal justice systems. This is the subject matter for a professional documentary, the statement reads. The statement from Cosby spokesperson concludes with, "Let's talk about Bill Cosby. Mr. Cosby vehemently denies all allegations waged against him. Let's talk about Bill Cosby. He wants our nation to be what it proclaims itself to be, a democracy." We need to talk about Cosby. It was first shown at the Sundance Film Festival on Saturday. Talk about twisted. I mean, just the way, I mean, he's admitted to it on camera. He's joked about it on talk shows. He's flat out, yes, he's done these things.
That just is crazy to me.
And he's out on a technicality.
It's almost like they're living some alternate reality.
I know.
Like, but that's kind of the way the world is right now.
Like, I feel like we're living an alternate reality.
Right. But it's like, okay, so he admitted to doing it, but then there was a technicality, basically, yeah, that got him off.
But then he can go back to saying he denies it all. No, he hasn't denied it all. He's flat out set on fucking confessions. This is, I don't know how you go back and forth on that. That's what's like, it used to be like, well, they confessed it. They're not going to, you can't go back on it. I mean, unless it's like you're Ronnie DeFeo, you know, and you're like, I killed my family. I was the devil. I don't know. You know, that's different. This is Bill Cosby. What is this back and forth thing all about? I don't know.
I think the whole documentary, I think, is just fascinating. I like just the name of it.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's something, you know, it's like, everybody has such mixed feelings about it because there's the one Bill Cosby you really liked.
Yeah. And,
you know, especially for the black community. I mean, he was.
No, sure.
Golly, like, you know, so well respected. And then he let everybody down, you know, in a big way. And so it's like, I just like the fact, let's talk about Cosby. And
yeah.
Have a conversation about it and explore the topic.
It's one of those things where historically the figure that was out in public did a lot of good. That version of that person did do a lot of good and did break a lot of barriers and really did pave the way for a lot of people. Unfortunately, once we go beyond the cameras rolling and the microphones on, he was a fucking monster.
Exactly.
Now,
and that's hard to square that up.
Now, would we go back in time and would we erase all of the trailblazing that he did had we known he was a monster? That's an interesting question to pose. Would we assume that someone else would have ended up just blazing that trail in their own way? Quite possibly. But, you know,
you don't know.
It was kind of a perfect storm in sometimes. So, I mean, it's not that you can rewrite history by any means, but obviously it's like Michael Jackson, you know, whether you believe he did those things or not. I honestly am still on the fence. Like, I can see it in many ways. I can see it where there's shit. Like, clearly there's bad judgment going on here at the least. But it's one of those things where at the very least, I mean, but I heard an interesting thing the other day where it was like Macaulay Culkin was talking about it because he's always said nothing's ever happened. He's like, when people say Michael Jackson's bedroom, they're thinking their bedroom. You have to realize Michael Jackson has like a 3-story bedroom that's the size of, that's bigger than most people's homes. I'm like, oh, okay. That does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he said he's always been horrible at expressing himself and explaining things. It's one of his biggest downfalls. So he gets taken out of context easily. When he says bedroom, he doesn't understand that most people's bedrooms are not, you know, 4,000 square feet. So it's like, well, that does kind of make sense. But I there's so many things, though, that do not make any sense. And that make me go, I don't know. I just don't know. I'd like it to not be true. I'm more swaying that it is. But anyway, I will never know. With all of that, though, you can listen to his music still, or you'll hear it in the background. And before it clicks in your mind, this is potentially a sexual predator, you get a couple bars in and you're like, this is amazing. You're like, oh, shit. And then that happens. But you can't deny that person made a cultural impact.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, there's, it's, but yeah, they were horrible fucking people in many ways.
But it is hard to have that conversation and really address it. So that's why I'm very curious how this show will play out. Because I think he's a really good, he's a comedian, but he's a very, very good journalist.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I really want to see this.
I am too. His other docuseries, I forget what it was really good. I think it was also on, it was on HBO or something.
CNN. He had one.
It was
on CNN.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Now, it's an interesting thing when we think about this, and I guess a more simplistic way to look at it would be, okay, professionally, put yourself in the situation. You're working with someone that's amazing professionally. You get along with them perfectly on a professional level. At work, you get everything's great and wonderful, and actually, you know, just super, better than most people you get along with. But at home, that turns out they're a horrible human being. How do you square that up? When, I mean, can you square that up? I mean, does that then affect your opinion of them professionally? Could you still work with someone that, I mean, I guess it probably depends on how horrible they are at home, but let's say they're not like hitting anybody, but there's, you know, verbal abuse, things like that, that go on that are not good. Can you square that up?
Usually, but not always.
I'm not good at that.
There are signs that you missed.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you excuse it. It's like, that was weird. He just kind of blew up at so-and-so. But you know.
Can you keep working with that person?
Joe asked for it. But I don't know. I've had, I've had things happen before with people that I didn't know they were like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it totally changed everything.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you can beat your wife when you're at home and you're a great coworker, well, now you're a wife beater.
Yeah.
In my eyes. And that's, but I kind of am, you know, once I hear that stuff, and sometimes you know, you don't just take someone's word for it, like, oh my God, you know, rumor.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's been substantiated.
Yeah. Then it's like, I can't just like, well, you know, we're not like buddies, but we get along. Like I can't even like talk to people once I know like their character is something that's really fucking, you know, vapid. Yeah. Like, it's like, you may be nice to me, but it's like truly like anyone that is capable of doing the things that I heard you've done or seen you do, you know, to your significant other or whatever it may be that was just so bad. I'm just done. I can write people off so quickly when it's like their character is like severely flawed. I'm like, done, out.
But, and I'm, you know, it's like, I can't work with that person.
No.
I'm not comfortable being around him. And then frequently when you do hear that, whatever it is, you do look back and you're like, oh,
yeah,
now that I think about it, now that I have all of the information about that person. But, you know, I guess I could see if you're Felicia Rashad and you had this great, perfect relationship with him all those years, and then you heard about it years later and you weren't working with him anymore, and maybe you don't believe it.
I don't know. I mean,
think all of those women are lying.
At this point, I don't know how you don't believe it. I mean, yeah. I could see like the first couple come out and you know this character and this person as one thing. Sure, you're going to think, well, maybe there's something, you know, it's a wave of something and he's a public figure. But when you, to the level of what happened here.
Exactly.
It's like, no. And the fact that he's admitted to it in a deposition, and the fact that he was on some talk show years ago joking about slipping Spanish Fly into women's drinks. Not in a like, this is a comedy bit. This is what I did. It's like, shit. This is what he did. And he probably thought it was okay. Yeah. Anyway, next story. A family of a Connecticut woman who died after Bumble date challenges coroner's new accidental death ruling. The Connecticut Office of the Chief Medical Examiner revealed Monday that Lauren Smith Fields died from a drug overdose. The lawyer for Lauren Smithfield's relatives believes the recent determination that the Connecticut woman died last month from an accidental overdose demands a more exhaustive investigation of just what happened, including a closer look at the last man to see her alive. This looks further like a manslaughter, the family lawyer Danielle Crossland told. Here we go again.
WTNH Action News, the one you can depend on more than your mama, more than your grandma, even more than your dead great-great-grandma in the grave that watches you sleep and do it every night. We're the one, the one you can depend on. Look us in the eyes. WTNH, WTNH.
It looks more like a murder, and if the police don't start acting fast, we're going to have a real big problem.
I'm sorry. I heard the boss going, that was too long. It was too long. You need to cut that down to 10 seconds.
Cut that down. That wasn't appropriate.
Okay.
The station. They're really getting demanding.
I didn't hear what you said, but it was just too long.
They're getting demanding in their promos. They're really, it's too much. People confirms the Connecticut Office of the Chief Medical Examiner determined the 23-year-old student and TikTok influencer died of acute intoxication due to the combined effects of fentanyl, promethazine, and hydroxyne and alcohol. To find out that all these substances are in their daughter's body that basically took her life. They're so angry right now, Crossland told.
WTNH, you know our shit.
The office deemed her death last month an accident. Smithfield was found dead December 12th on the floor of her Bridgeport, Connecticut apartment. The Stamford High School graduate who was taking classes at Norwalk Community College and working as an eyebrow specialist died the morning after going out with a man she had met 3 days prior through the dating app Bumble, according to an incident report. Authorities have said there's no foul play involved in Smithfield's death, but her family isn't convinced. They're alleging the city's police continues to inadequately investigate her death. Relatives contend Smithfield was last seen alive by her Bumble date, who they note as in his late 30s. Police have not released the man's name. They say he is the one who called 911 after realizing her nose was bleeding and she had stopped breathing, according to the incident report. Find out whether he has a drug connection to someone, Crossland told the station. Relatives allege police told him that Smithfield's Bumble date was a nice guy and that there was no need to investigate him for her death. Crossland recently filed a notice of claim with Bridgeport alerting them of his intent to sue the city in an effort to obtain due process. The notice obtained by People alleges the police department had been racially insensitive to this family and has treated the family with no respect and has violated their civil rights. It adds the city's police have failed to investigate this matter and they refused to view the last person with Lauren Smithfield before she died as a person of interest. This behavior is unacceptable. Bridgeport Police has not responded to repeated requests for comment in a statement issued earlier this month. The department said the investigation into Smithfield's death was ongoing. Hundreds marched in Bridgeport on Sunday, which would have been Smithfield's 24th birthday, demanding justice for the young woman outside the city's police department. In a statement obtained by People, Bridgeport Mayor Joe Graham promised there'll be an internal investigation into the department's handling of the case. Sensitivity and care are the utmost importance when working with the family of a victim, reads the statement. There is no tolerance for anything less than respect and sensitivity for family members and their loss. To that end, this matter has been referred to the Office of Internal Affairs to conduct a full and fair investigation. Okay. Thoughts?
That's a really difficult one because, I mean, if they're out on a date, it seems like there would be some kind of responsibility, even if they were doing drugs together, to know that that she was ingesting a lot of substances and alcohol.
I think you want to do a drug test on him just to cover your bases and everything.
I would have assumed they'd done that.
Yeah, and do a thorough, you know, a background check on him and see what you can find. I would assume they've already done that. And that's not necessarily they're going to release then to the public because that's private information, especially if they found nothing of substance.
But I, you know, if he bought the drugs that she took.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, if that's part of it.
He was involved
yes.
in the taking. Yes. You're helping her take them.
Sure.
You know, because I think you could be held criminally responsible for if I gave you all the heroin.
Yeah.
And you OD'd. I would think I would have some responsibility in that.
I think they need to figure out if he was a supplier of that. Or is this something that she was taking? And maybe he didn't even know. Maybe she's on the date and she's taking it to thinking she's going to chill out or something by taking this. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here that I think, you know, they need to look at.
But I would think by looking at her hair,
yeah,
you could tell, and it would probably take a while. I don't know how long the test would take, but you could see if she's been taking drugs for months.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that could be tested here.
You know, and I think I would definitely look at that. And if she doesn't have a history of drug use, yeah, then there's something going on.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the sad reality is that shit happens every day. Women are date raped and drugged, and it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So if he truly isn't being looked into the way he should be.
I guess that's the question. Is he or is he not? I mean.
And you just can't tell. And probably that's what frustrates the families. They just don't have all the information that they want and need to really.
Sure.
You know, obviously they're not. They don't feel like he is being looked at.
Mm-hmm.
But
the police,
golly,
the police aren't always.
And
gonna,
I feel so horrible for her family. Like that would be
number one. You're going to want to find the culprit here. You want to find what happened, who gave this to her, how did this get there? So you're going to be very angry. And you're going to be looking for a villain, and this is the easy one right now. Is this ultimately the villain? Maybe. I don't know yet. And I think that's where things like this. As long as the investigation is ongoing and they're doing it, maybe we can pause on marching and stuff if they're still, they need to do their due process of figuring this stuff out until we get to the point where we're clearly looking at something and going, this is being not investigated for a reason.
And obviously the family feels like they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
I guess my thing is this didn't happen long ago. This was a month ago, basically. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how fast investigations work, but I think, you know, with a lot of things, they're not the fastest thing in the world. And it doesn't really matter who you are in some cases. It's just kind of how it is. But I would think by now we could have figured out more on the guy, or at least enough to say we've dismissed him as a suspect because of we already had an alibi or you know, whatever, testing, something. It's when the police department sit there and just like stay mum and don't say shit. They end up, I think, hurting themselves far more because of that sort of attitude than being able to communicate a little bit better and then, you know, kind of sufficing the people to go, oh, this is what they're doing. That'd be good.
But man, that's a tough situation for that family.
Yeah.
Just can't imagine. I can't imagine.
No, not at all. You'd want answers. It's interesting today on dating apps. Now, I am no longer on a dating app because I've been now in a relationship for about half a year. But when I was on them, a half a year ago, it's crazy the pictures that people now can put up on dating apps. I'm not saying like revealing or anything, but that does exist. But it's like everyone's a model now. And I'm looking at because they posted the picture that this woman had put up, and she's beautiful. She looks like a model. I mean, it's like pictures that like you wouldn't have contemplated even like being able to get a handful of years ago. But now with filters and everything that our phones can do, it's just the quality of photos that people post. A couple years ago, you would think like, are these just stock photos? Are these not real human beings? But no, it's like, it's just, it's amazing what the quality of photos people can post now. And it's not like you went to hire a photographer either. It's just, hey, take some shots of me like this and that, and or just life. It's, yeah. Anyway, let's do one more story here on today's episode of The Dark Side. Man uses COVID-19 lockdowns to try and hide the murder of his wife.
What?
Da, da, da. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit the United States in March 2020, fear and panic, of course, spread quickly. One man took advantage of the confusion to try and hide the murder of his wife. When Gretchen, a teacher in Jupiter, Florida, met personal trainer David Anthony at the gym, they quickly hit it off. There was one problem. Gretchen was with a man named Jeffrey. They had been dating for many years and had gotten married in 2007. 1 year later, she met David. I know she was unhappy, but she had a child with Jeff and they were doing their best to make it work, but it didn't. And that's when she and David became a couple, Hannah said. The two tied the knot in 2015, but soon the relationship started to change. David was always dealt with insecurities, his friend Tabitha Hopkins said, and they soon grew stronger. He would have unpredictable mood swings. As I started to get to know David better, his mood started to change. There was a definite up and down. He became challenging, I would say difficult, Hopkins, who owned the gym David worked at, said. Their marriage became strained to the point where they decided to attend a week-long retreat in Hawaii, but David acted so erratically that he had to be separated from the rest of the group, journalist Elliot Kilnberg told producers. In the spring of 2017, a horrific accident occurred. David was working on his truck in their garage when the jack slipped. He suffered a traumatic brain injury from the car falling on him, and Gretchen had to care for him as he healed from the wounds. David attempted all kinds of methods, including gratitude training and self-help groups, but his behavior continued to spiral. In fall 2019, Gretchen and Anthony separated. He moved in with his mom, who lived nearby. In February 2020, another alarming incident occurred when David came to his work at the gym, crying and giving a speech in the lobby about a personal hero of his, Kobe Bryant, Hopkins said. She had to fire him. A month later, the country was reeling from the COVID-19 pandemic. As people stayed home to isolate to avoid the disease, it wasn't unusual to not see your loved ones during this time. But friends and family were deeply concerned by the text they started to get from Gretchen on March 23rd of 2020. The text said she had COVID and was so ill she needed to be put on a ventilator. She claimed she was taken to Jupiter Medical Center and then she was being treated at a CDC receiving facility. The facility she spoke of did not exist. Friends and family were alarmed enough to contact law enforcement. Authorities talked to her ex-husband, who confirmed he had her daughter at the moment, but they had been confused by the odd text too, and he was concerned it wasn't actually her texting. They tracked down her car, which was indeed at Jupiter Medical Center, but there was no record of her ever checking into the center. And when investigators went to Gretchen's home, they noted it smelled strongly of bleach and found broken glass on her bed. They also discovered security cameras had been removed from the home. They contacted the security company to retrieve the footage from the home, but had to wait for it to come through. Authorities were concerned they had been unable to find David Anthony. They learned David had actually changed his name and had been hiding a secret past. There were things he didn't want people to know. He was not a fun-loving, free-spirited, charismatic trainer people knew as David Anthony. David Ehrenberg, a state attorney in Palm Beach County, Florida, said his actual name was David Anthony Deutsch. In the past, he had assaulted a police officer and held up a video store. And just 7 days before Gretchen went missing, police had responded to a report of a man acting suspiciously and approaching teenage girls in a parking lot. They found a man packing back and forth in an agitated state. I think it's supposed to say pacing. It was David Anthony. He was arrested, but eventually posted bail. He'd been missing ever since. Authorities soon discovered something even more disturbing. Gretchen and David's cell phones were pinging on the same path, traveling through Texas and New Mexico. Once he was in New Mexico, a local officer was able to detain him. He claimed to have no idea where Gretchen was, and they had to let him go. But investigators continued to work the case, and on March 29, 2020, David called police in Florida. He claimed he was with Gretchen, and she was fine. Gretchen is scared for her life. She uncovered illegal federal tax fraud. Someone was sent to her house to hurt her the other weekend, he claimed, in audio obtained by Killer Relationship, which I believe is a podcast. He added that her employer was the issue, and she had contacted the IRS and had been in communication with OSHA. When investigators contacted local agencies, they learned Gretchen hadn't made any reports like that. The allegation against her employers was completely fabricated by David. Finally, the service provider of Gretchen's security cameras was able to retrieve the footage from the cloud. Clearly showed a tall, dark figure on their porch about 6 a.m. the morning she disappeared. Gretchen eventually answered the door, and a struggle ensued. Gretchen was dragged to the garage where investigators could see she had stopped moving and there was blood in her hair. Her assailant looked into the camera, and it was David Anthony. Gretchen's final words were captured to Alexa. I can't say this because they're going to hear me right now in the room as I say this, and they've already been triggered. But she said to call a certain number, for an emergency, she begged. Unfortunately, she hadn't set Alexa up for this command. I didn't know you could do that. On March 31st, 2020, David was arrested and charged with kidnapping and second-degree murder, although the charge was eventually up to first degree. David continued to insist that he and Gretchen had split up around El Paso, Texas, and that she was alive. Detectives still don't have a body, so a plea deal was eventually reached. David will be sentenced to 38 years in prison if he told them where Gretchen was. On December 21st, 2020, 9 months after Gretchen went missing, he pled guilty to second-degree murder. Gretchen has been buried at the grounds of an assisted living facility. An autopsy revealed she had been stabbed multiple times. Our hearts are forever broken. God. Gretchen saved your life when your call fell on her, yet you killed Gretchen in the same garage. You are pure evil. You are a monster. A loved one read in a statement at David Anthony's sentencing. And there's a documentary on it, by the way, on Oxygen. Killer Relationship with Faith Jenkins. It's on there. So,
like, it's so weird. It's almost like he thought he was committing this crime in like the 80s, mm-hmm. where they didn't have all of this way you could document things like videos and
phones.
Alexa and yeah, and the phone being with your phone tracking across the country.
Yeah.
And then each time, like, how stupid does he think these people are?
I think he's just stupid. I don't think he's even thinking any of it. If you're doing those things, you're not thinking it. I mean, hell, just watch 1 hour of a true crime show and you'll learn so many things that he did wrong. I mean, it's like if you're fucking get rid of the phones, don't let them ping towers. They're doing that when you're not using them.
Exactly.
I mean, it's I don't know.
And then just the texting people, I'm in the hospital with COVID.
Yeah.
Well, that's super easy to check.
Yeah. Here's an like, yeah.
And then the CDC center, like nobody's heard of that.
And I'm at the CDC center now. Yeah. It's just, I think people get into these kicks of insanity. And they start to believe whatever they think it must be real, and others will believe it. I don't know. It's insane. I had a question I was going to ask about the perspective on this. I'm trying to think what it was because I kind of got caught off on that kick. Continue on. What's some more of your thoughts on this?
Well, it just makes no sense, and it's like, and obviously the guy's not in his right mind,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, that's the shit that just pisses me off. It's like, it's horrific what you did to her, but then you're tormenting the family. Mm-hmm. So it's not even, killed this poor woman. It's like, look what you've done to all of her loved ones on top of it. It's this huge ripple effect. And it just affects so many people.
Here's a question, and this is what I was thinking earlier, because this person clearly is operating like it's 1987, and obviously everything that could go wrong to get caught, he got caught with. With that being said, in 1987, there wasn't television networks that air 24/7 crime documentaries that basically show what went wrong in every criminal case and essentially what not to do if you're a criminal. Right. And giving basic guidance, if you will, if you are so crazy to do some of this shit, here's ways not to get caught, essentially. The fact that all this information exists now out there in the ether, and you don't have to like know a criminal to like, how do I do this? And do that sort of a thing. Are we in a world where there's more really dark shit going on that we're unaware of because people are now more aware of how to avoid the system? Or is the system just so good that we just see so many of these simplistic ones being caught because they clearly break something easily and find a way to be caught? Is the system so good that it's just so hard?
If you look at the numbers of missing people,
yeah,
like there's a lot of people getting away with shit.
Yeah.
Every day. And it's just, you know, it's just heartbreaking. Like, that's why I can't watch any show, or I started listening to a podcast about, it was Disappeared, or I think that was the name of it, something like that. And I just couldn't watch it because there's no closure at the end of any story. And I just found it so incredibly sad.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people getting away with a lot of stuff. And maybe, but I still like that. You know, with video cameras everywhere, there's a lot of people getting caught that wouldn't have.
Sure.
So that's good. But it's really sad.
Yeah. No, of course it is. It's just, it's interesting to think of with, and the monitoring of life everywhere is only going to increase. Is that ever going to then decrease the amount of shit that we hear on this show or in the news, where it's just like, how the fuck did this go on for this long?
I don't think it's ever going to decrease. I'll just be other ways around it.
Yeah. I mean, cause a lot of things is like, it's behind closed doors where there are not cameras. I mean, now we got Alexas and shit, but are they eventually going to be able to be like, we think there's domestic abuse going on in this house, you know? And then it like automatically calls the police.
I think that could happen. Like, I saw a commercial the other day for an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And it was basically the Apple Watch calling 911 because the wearer of the watch had fallen down a ravine and wasn't moving. And so the watch is like, this is Apple Watch calling as, you know, the person has fallen down the ravine and is not moving. And our coordinates are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, so if your watch can do that.
Yeah.
Alexa could sure listen to you guys screaming and fighting.
But what if you're watching a television show that has that on? It would have to know the difference.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I suppose that wouldn't be hard. The way that technology works today, that it could decipher vocal tones and the way they're delivered from a human versus a speaker. So there's probably ways to do that. Yeah, it would be interesting. And, you know, all the ways that that could be a wonderful thing. I don't know. I mean, do we want that level of monitoring of our lives? Certainly for something like that, it'd be great.
In the 80s, if you would have told people, or in the 70s, like, this is the kind of technology that we'll all be using, it'd be like, oh, I don't know that I'd be comfortable walking around with a phone that everyone could know where I was at any time.
Yeah.
And but we all do it willingly. Yeah. I don't think twice about having my phone with me all the time.
No, I don't either. But I don't do that.
Somebody could sure track me.
But I don't do that. And this is something that a lot of the kids do, is they share their location with everybody or certain people. So like there's this is what I heard too. This is what I heard that the kids are doing these days, Carol. But no, I've heard it directly from kids that age, one of the things with dating now is that the couple turns on the Find My iPhone or whatever tracking thing that they have. So the other always knows where the other is in real time. Now, if you got nothing to hide, that's fine. But at the same point, is this not kind of like, I mean, an invasion of privacy to a certain extent? When you're a kid, does your significant other need to know where you are at all times? Because this is going beyond kids now. These are the 20s, 30s. This is like one of the like rites of dating like now of, well,
now my sister, she has grown kids and she has that on her phone because she said, I just want to know where in the world, literally, my children are.
And I can
sometimes
see
I just like to look and I go, oh, you know, she's in Nashville. And
I have that with my daughter, but she's 9. But, you know, but as an adult, I don't mind having that with a kid, like in a parental way, or if you're just, you know, like you're always looking out for each other.
But when you're 15 and you're doing it to your girlfriend, like, that's not right.
That just seems like really a big ask. I mean, I'm sure now the kids are like, what's what you do? It's just normal because they know no different. But I can't imagine like dating someone, or even today, I would never ask my significant other to do that. I think we're both of the generation where we wouldn't do that. You got to have some trust in somebody. You know, it's one thing if it's like, you know, let's track each other for timing to meet up and do something, that's different. But this, like, it seems like a really big insecurity thing that a lot of people are doing it for.
But I get why some people would like if you're a parent and you're 15-year-old going out.
Yes.
That would be great.
That's why I have it. Yeah. I mean, that's why I have it for a parent standpoint.
Yeah.
But like tracking your significant other, I mean, unless
it's
like...
just like it's kind of stalking.
Well, unless there's like a pattern of problems and it's like, look, you can follow me. I'll show you or whatever to prove. I mean, but even then it's like, that's not healthy. I don't know. I just, it's a weird thing to me to think like this is like, okay, we're going steady. Okay, let's turn the trackers on our phone now, you know, or whatever the hell. They don't call it going. We never called it going steady ourselves. It was more like from the Wonder Years. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what we called it. It was just like, I don't know. It was like dating seriously. I don't know what the hell we called it. I think we really had a term in the 90s.
I don't remember either.
I mean, now people don't even fucking date half the time either, where it's like we'll just go hang out, you know, and this and that. And although I can say I'm kind of guilty of that because I like to cook. So most of my dates do end up happening at my house. But I don't know.
That's different.
Yeah. Different world.
And just, I don't know. But that guy's like, the fact that he doesn't even think of all the ways they can track him and all roads end up leading to him.
Yeah.
And she's nowhere around.
Yeah.
And then they have video of the actual murder. That's just,
it's a dark one. But hey, there's going to be a lot of weird shit that people got away with for a period of time because of COVID.
Probably so.
And there's going to be a lot of things in the next, probably the rest of our life, that we're going to hear like, oh, well, they said it was because of COVID. And turns out here's the real story. So, yeah. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Dark Side Of. If you like the show, check out our Patreon page or download the app, search Dark Side Of, or go to darksidepod.com. Get access to all of the episodes, advanced episodes, all of it commercial free as well. I'll keep our program on the air. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you download this podcast, Apple Podcast or wherever it may be. Subscribe or follow us. Press that plus sign. You don't miss any episodes of our program. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dark Side.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.